Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Steve Potter takes us back to a simpler time when St. Louis kids dreamed of being Stan the Man and when empty lots became baseball fields.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never go back.
Baseball. America's favorite pastime and the theme of Circus Flora's 30th season, opening next Thursday and running through July the 3rd under the Big Top Tent in Grand Center. Artistic director Jack Marsh is here, and with him, Circus Flora's new executive director, Larry Mabry. Hi to both of you.
Hey, thanks
Steve.
For having us.
When you think about baseball's golden era, what comes to mind?
Well, when we were putting this show together, that was where we said it was in that golden age of baseball, sort of 40s, 50s, and to me, it's before TV. It's before even lights and night games. It's those sort of lazy summer afternoons with the radio on and hearing your favorite team. Maybe it's just in the background as you're going about the rest of your day. But it's this it's sort of this all-consuming summer activity that just kind of surrounds you throughout the course of the summer. And so that's a big part of what we wanted to try and capture with our aesthetic for this year and with our story and with our design.
For me, you know, it's the golden age that we're talking about slightly predates me, but I think of Mickey Mantle. I think of Stan Musial. I think of, you know, those icons of that time who were just larger than life. And I think that larger than life quality is something that Jack and the rest of the artistic team are going to be able to bring to this show. It'll be really cool.
Do you personally have any childhood memories of baseball, not just professional baseball, but, you know, on the lot next door or something like that?
Well, yeah, for me, I grew up sort of half in St. Louis and half in New York, but I grew up a Yankees fan and would go and sit in the right field bleachers with my dad. And I, it was those moments of sharing this cool special experience with family members and loved ones, and we would make fried chicken and eat it cold in the right field bleachers. And I probably learned all the curse words that I know from that experience.
How many?
Just one.
Okay. I grew up in Southern California. I was a Padres fan. I hope that's not, you know, a bad thing to say here in St. Louis, but I've become a Cardinals fan since I've been here since the 80s. But I grew up playing Little League, being on the All-Star team, doing all those wonderful things that the family of five boys would do. So go to the park, play baseball, playing catch, playing 500, playing pickle, doing all this stuff at dusk. I remember that being 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kid doing that.
Yeah, my family's from St. Louis, so I remember taking a tour of Busch Stadium back when it first opened. Would that be 66 maybe? Or I may have be off a year. And we lived in New Jersey when I was in grade school, and I remember my dad taking me to Yankee Stadium for a game. Circus Flora, it's a one-ring theatrical event. Explain the concept.
Well, Circus Flora, to me, it's quite different from what a lot of people expect when they hear the word circus. One of the common reactions we get from our audience is a sense of surprise, because they, if they haven't seen Circus Flora before, they think they're coming to the circus that they know from pop culture, or from maybe some circuses that they went to as a kid. And frankly, it's a lot different to come to Circus Flora. It's a theater show. Along with having these incredible circus acts, we also tell a story. There's a narrative that carries through all the acts, and all of our performers they double as actors in our story, helping to tell that. And so for me, we're not only wowing with these great physical feats, but we're also trying to find a bit of emotional depth in what everyone's doing and carry some sort of message and get a point across through these amazing physical characteristics.
And up close and personal, isn't it like the farthest seat away, 40 feet, something like that?
Yeah, you're right there. You see these performers doing these incredible things, and you see the expressions on their face, and you can see how easy or difficult it is for them, and you see beads of sweat dropping down their forehead. It's really this visceral thing to be right next to these people doing these incredible things.
Live music starts the thing off, and then Yo-Yo, the narrator, appears.
Yeah, and she tends to bring this sort of grandiose language that I think really works in our space. We've got this great big tent and this ring and these people doing this sort of otherworldly stuff. And so it allows us to have this just kind of big language that describes what we do and sort of abstracts it, which I think gives it this whole emotional depth.
So you're calling this production Pastime. And it's set in days gone by. I'm picturing people getting to the park on streetcars. That's just my imagination on this. But the story follows a struggling baseball team through the season. How does that work?
Yeah, well, the show focuses on this hometown team that we're calling the Mountain City Zephyrs. We're making up an entire division that the Zephyrs play in. And so all the performers are either players or coaches on these various teams. Some are on the Zephyrs, the home team. Others are on the Aces, who are their arch rival. And then there's also a team called the Ruffians, and there's a team called the Mammoths. And all the performers have these different uniforms for these different teams. And it follows our clown is a woman named Amanda Crockett, and she not only is a phenomenal hat juggler and also a trapeze artist, but she's also this brilliantly funny clown. And she plays the enthusiastic biggest fan of the Zephyrs. And so she's distraught that the Zephyrs are having such a terrible season. But she comes, she you know, keeps on rooting for them anyway and is kind of this emotional spark that they need.
Larry, where does the script and the music come from?
Well, it comes from Jack and Cecil and the artistic team and the music. Our composer, her name's Miriam Cutler, and we've been using her music for many years.
Yeah, it's all original music composed by Miriam and also our music director, Janine Delarte.
Okay, so this is the story of the Zephyrs, but let me put it frankly, they're not very good.
Well, not at the start. We hope that they'll find some sort of way to turn it around.
Isn't that funny, though, how fans will love a team that never wins? Is that part of this?
Yeah, well, it's really, we're hoping to capture this sense of this enthusiasm of fans and what a team and what a sport can mean in someone's life. I mean, it's such a point of identity for fans that, yeah, we think it's worth exploring that.
Well, a lot of Circus Flora's favorite acts are back, but like every year, you bring in some new ones. So why don't we talk about some of those?
Yeah, one very exciting act that we have is called the Cuban Connection, who have never performed with us before. They're a Cuban group, four young men, and they do two acts. One is called the Chinese Pole, which is a vertical pole that's in the middle of our ring, and people climb up it and flip while on the pole. They do like a human flag, so holding the pole with two hands and going out horizontally from the pole. Steve's drawing it out right now.
Yeah.
not only does one guy do that, which is a great feat of strength in itself, but then another guy stands on top of him, on top of his torso while he's
they're amazingly strong. Yes.
Yeah, and they do another act called the Russian Bar, which is an apparatus that we haven't had on Circus Floor in quite a long time. And that is two guys with a plank on their shoulders in between them, and a third guy is in the middle of that plank balancing on it. So he's kind of on a thin balance beam, and the plank trampolines him up in the air, and he flips while doing that. So he does a triple somersault, getting flung up by this bar, landing back on the balance beam that the guys catch him, you know, they position under him and catch him with. It's really amazing to see that and to see it's up close and personal in our tent with our band roaring. It's going to be really something.
What about Caleb and Max? That's bareback horse riding.
Caleb and his horses, and their act is called Turumba.
La Turumba, yeah.
La Turumba. And Max is an aerial strap artist, and so we combine they combine the equestrian daredevil tricks that Caleb does with Max's flying through and doing aerial tricks in unison with him, I believe.
Yeah, so Caleb, he does backflips on horseback, and he does a backflip from one horse that's galloping to another horse that's galloping behind that horse. And so that's amazing in itself. But then at the same time, you're seeing his partner, Max, flying around directly next to him or above him on aerial straps that are circling the ring at the same time as the horses, and it's intricately choreographed, and it's just this beautiful mesh of these two worlds.
And I think another new one, Chinese Hoops. They're jumping through Chinese Hoops.
Yeah, this is a duo named I King and Melvin, who they both grew up in Circus Harmony's program, training at the City Museum. And they were in the St. Louis Arches, who perform with us and have performed with us in past years as well. And they grew up in that program and then since went to Montreal to train at the National Circus School in Canada, and then have since then been traveling the world as professionals. So it's a bit of a homecoming for them. They've been off traveling the world, and now they get to come back to their hometown circus and put on this really incredible, beautiful act. They're these stunning performers, the mm-hmm. two of them.
Larry, you're new to Circus Flora in official capacity, the executive director just a matter of months, beginning of the year?
January, yes.
Yeah, so what's that been like for you, being involved in putting this whole thing together for the first time?
Well, fortunately, there are a lot of people with a lot of experience who have put this together. So I've been, as far as putting the artistic side together, I've been observing. I've been learning how this company works and why it works in a way. But my focus has really been on trying to focus the business side of it so that we can continue to provide this wonderfully amazing cultural icon for St. Louis.
I know you have that business background, but you have a little acting background too, don't you?
I do. That's where I started. I started my career at the Muni back in the 80s as a singer and dancer, and moved on to Chicago, New York, the Caribbean. Came back here about 15 years ago.
Came back home to join the circus.
Most
people run away to do that, but the Flying Willendas are back and some other favorites.
Yeah, we have the Flying Willendas putting on their world-class high wire act, and they're going to open our show this year, which I think is really going to start things off with a bang. The Flying Cortez do the Flying Trapeze, which basically fills up our tent, seeing one person swing from one side of the tent to our other in a matter of half a second or whatever it is, and then do a triple backflip into another guy's waiting arms. It's this really sort of magical way to end the show. And then we have Johnny Pears and his Muttville Comics. Is this very like funny and chaotic, but there's sense of it in this chaos dog act with these wonderful, cute, and hilarious dogs that have been adopted from animal shelters and then trained to be a part of this act. And they're having the most fun, and Johnny's having the most fun, and the kids in the audience and the adults in the audience are just like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
There's some hat juggling too, and I think of hat juggling, I think of usually top hats.
Right. Yeah. Amanda Crockett is our clown and sort of the star of this show. She plays the Zephyr's biggest fan, and so the storyline centers around her. And she does both a hat juggling, which is this like very intricate. You see her practice and hats are going every which
way.
But
it's baseball caps.
Well, it's sort of stylized, yeah, yeah. Kind of bowler caps that were sort of relating to baseball caps. Uh-huh. Yeah. She's been doing it for years, and
So the Zephyrs, what are their uniforms like?
They are red, red and white, pinstripes, and finding these sort of classical baseball uniforms, the like 1950s era, a little bit baggy, high socks, things like that. Our costume designer, Nina Reed, is working on them. She's probably has a needle in her hand as we speak.
So action-wise, what are we seeing that represents a baseball game during this production?
Well, In some ways, we're acting out actual baseball games. I mean, we have bats and balls and gloves and people doing, quote unquote, baseball moves. But beyond that, we're also, you know, for us, we like to abstract things. I mean, I think for us, it's not just about having someone run from first base to second base and then do a backflip and saying that we're doing a show about baseball. For us, you know, our goal is really to capture the spirit and the essence of the game and of fandom and of what it all means to a person and to this country. And so it's finding that sort of big and grandiose abstract language alongside the actual baseball action that we'll have. And so, it's, you know, by following a team over the course of the season, I think we get to really to really find that meaning in it all.
Larry, one thing I want to mention, too, is the things that you do outside of the season, the things Circus Flora is involved in, because I know you work with other organizations in different ways through the year, and you do some really interesting things like Clowns on Call.
Clowns on Call, a partnership with Cardinal Glennon and Mercy Children's Hospital, where we send clown therapists into rooms and wards, and they we've delivered, we'll say, joy to patients, over 4,000 patients in the four or five years we've been in existence. We also have a program called Share the Circus, where we donate tickets to many underserved and underprivileged communities. Over 3,000 tickets were donated last year. I think we're going to exceed that this year. And we also have a program that we're working to bring back this fall called Tumbling and Teamwork, where we partner with social service agencies and have children who are going through emotional difficulties work together with others to learn some circus arts and then culminate it with a performance.
I had the chance to witness Clowns on Call firsthand, and I was in a hospital room with a terminally ill young child when the clown, and her name is just escapes my memory.
Claire the clown.
Came in, and it was really something to see. It was very touching and meaningful, I thought.
I experienced that as well. I went on a visit with one of our funding partners and wanted to see what this was like. And there was this little girl who was very scared. Her mother was in the room with her. Her father had just stepped out. Don't know what they were going through. But as soon as Claire came in, the face lit up and just everybody took a breath.
Well, Circus Flora kicks off June the 2nd in the Big Top Tent, air-conditioned Big Top Tent in Grand Center by Powell Hall. And the first night, June the 2nd, is peanut-free.
Peanut-free. It's an allergy-free preview. We haven't brought all of those things to the concessions and things to the lot that have that element.
We spend the night before cleaning up the entire tent, wiping down all the seats. We get volunteers from the community of people who have kids in their family or adults with peanut allergies who volunteer to help us clean everything down and make it safe for people with allergies to come in. And it's, as far as I know, the one chance to see an amazing circus if you have a peanut allergy.
Well, I certainly look forward to it every year. I would never miss it. My last question to you, is our team going to win?
Jack, that's up to Jack to say.
The Zephyrs, well, we'll see. The Cardinals, yes. The Zephyrs, you'll have to come down to Grand Center and come to Circus Flora and find out.
That's Steve Potter and his discussion about this week's opening of Circus Flora with Artistic Director Jack Marsh and Executive Director Larry Mabry. Circus Flora's 30th season gets underway Thursday and runs through July 3rd. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.